Well, I invite you to turn with me in the bulletin there or in your Bibles to Genesis 32. We'll be reading the last part of the chapter beginning in verse 22. So this is Jacob, who in this passage is renamed Israel, and he is another shining example of what the God of love can do in and through a messed up person. So in that sense, he's a lot like us. Moralistic, good person religiosity says, just look at the rules and follow the rules. What's wrong with you? But the Bible says, over and over again, look to a Savior, not yourself. Look to the God of grace, of love, and mercy, who delights in surprising us with His mysterious ways of working His goodness in us and through us. So Genesis 32, beginning in verse 22. The same night he, Jacob, arose and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream and everything else that he had. And Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day has broken." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered." The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the people of Israel do not eat the sinew of the thigh that is on the hip socket, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip on the sinew of the thigh. May God bless then the reading, hearing, and teaching of this, his holy word. So Jacob is in dire straits. Okay, he has a big family, a lot of wealth and possessions. After 20 years, he and his family are going back to Canaan to reunite with Jacob's family. He has deceived and swindled his father-in-law, Laban, out of valuable livestock. He's on his way to meet his estranged older brother, Esau, whose birthright he stole, and Esau has every right to hate him. So here we are on the night before he's supposed to go and meet Esau. So this passage teaches us about Jacob, of course, and about ourselves, about God and his way of bringing his children to humble, joyful dependence upon him. There are five things here that are common to God's children. First, resisting. Like most Old Testament names, Jacob was given this name because of its meaning. Okay, so Jacob means, may he be at the heels, in the sense of, may God be your rear guard. Okay, or may God protect you. So as a play on that, his parents named him Jacob because he came out of the womb grabbing his older brother's heel, right? And so it has a more hostile sense as it's worked out in Jacob's life. the meaning of his name. The more hostile sense is overreaching, okay, grasping, harassing another's steps. Now, up to this point, where we are in Genesis 32, Jacob had fulfilled that, right? Jacob's whole life has been dedicated to his own dependence on his own ability, his own conniving. He's tenaciously good at looking out for number one. So Jacob's resistance is in the form of self-dependence. Even, you read the story of Jacob, even while praying some great prayers and seeking, honestly seeking to depend on the Lord. But when push came to shove, he's depending on himself. Okay. He's leaning more on his own abilities than on God. Earlier in the chapter, verses 15 and 16, it's clear that Jacob thought he was on the edge of being massacred. He divides up his livestock into separate groups to protect them all from being massacred at once. Okay. And he thinks, and it's written there, that maybe this will appease his older brother. All of these gifts, all this wealth that I'm going to give to him. You can be a Christian and not be fully surrendered to God and his way. You can be a Christian and, of course, get a lot of things wrong. Okay? Jacob is again evidence of God's long arc of getting his children into the place of utter and complete dependence upon him. Be kind to one another, forgiving one another as the Lord has forgiven you. So God, what are you doing here? Do you remember when you have asked that yourself? What in the world is going on? Especially when you are afraid. Especially when you're afraid, you're more likely to take matters into your own hands out of desperation. Are you really depending on the Lord? Or are you really depending on yourself? So Jacob has been resisting God his whole life. And this night, he meets his match. So second, wrestling. He meets his match in the angel of the Lord, but this is ambiguous to us. The text is ambiguous. We don't really know who it is. It says it's a man. Who is this? What is this? Jacob doesn't really understand until verse 29. But he wrestles with him all night. And this just jumped out at me among many things. Jacob prevailed. What does that mean? That God will let you wrestle with him. God will give you this gift. Like a parent of a strong-willed child. Children, you know. And so do you parents. Sometimes parents will let you just get your tantrum out. Right? And sometimes they will tamp it down in order to teach you self-control. And here, God lets Jacob wrestle with him all night long. Some of you remember the scene in Forrest Gump. Lieutenant Dan goes, because he has nowhere else to go, he goes down and joins Forrest Gump in Louisiana because Forrest Gump, of all people, has become captain of a shrimp boat. And Lieutenant Dan's like, you? And he's out there on the shrimp boat, and it's very unsuccessful shrimp harvesting. Until one night a hurricane comes. Lieutenant Dan decides to stay out in the water by himself, straps himself to the top of the mast, and Lieutenant Dan has no legs, okay? Lieutenant Dan has had his legs amputated following a war wound in Vietnam. But he's out there in the middle of a terrible storm and lightning and thunder, and he is railing at God in his anger, in his grief, in his lament. He's wrestling with God all night long. Forrest Gump later makes the comment, he made his peace with God that night, Lieutenant Dan. Now, Jacob, he did plan and he did pray. And with sincerity, he cried out to God because he greatly feared Esau. But Jacob still has a negotiation mindset. Verse 20 is clear on that, that dominates and supersedes his dependence upon the Lord. God is a God of grace, and Jacob is about to get a lesson in how God really works. By grace, by gift, by undeserved favor. So Jacob, this tenacious cheater, this grabber, this deceiver, would not have his tenacity taken away, but redirected by God. God isn't going to change your personality. Okay? Some of you are strong-willed. And like Jacob, you came out of the womb that way. But what God will do is redirect you. Okay? He will chasten your pride and challenge your tenacity. What was Jacob after? What did he want? He wanted constantly to conform the world to his way. But he met his match. So like the strong-willed child needs parents who love enough to challenge and to redirect, God does the same with his children. Jacob's willfulness then is purged of its self-sufficiency. Okay? So through the valley of a battle-hardened, literal dark night of the soul, Jacob surrenders. And his tenacious strength is redirected towards love for God in response to God's love for him. So God renames him. He removes this reproach of the reputation of Jacob as deceiver and gives him a new name based on this night. He won't forget it. Someone here is wrestling against God, and you haven't yet surrendered. Maybe it's still night for you. Maybe you're afraid of the limp, of the visible sign of your weakness and of your dependency. Don't let that keep you from the blessing that is only had by the way of surrender. You are surrendering to love, the God of love. There is no way that you can see the other side of your surrender. Only God can. And it is always, always only a good future. Jacob is terrified about what he might experience through Esau's wrath and anger. But God had a good future for him. So you fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds you so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessings on your head. Only God can overcome your pride and your fear. Listen, please listen to the stories of your brothers and sisters. All of you have so many stories. What have you been through? How has God wrestled you down? How has he given you back your true self? Pastor Alton Hardy of Urban Hope in Fairfield calls this being processed. And he loves to talk about it. He can't stop talking about it because he knows what it is to be confronted by the lion holiness of God and then renamed by God so that out of the core of your being, you are in awe of God and amazed at what the God of love can do. So remember Jacob's history. He so desperately wanted the blessing from his father that he and his mother schemed and lied and deceived in order to get it. And he did get it. He pretended to be Esau. Remember, covered his arms in animal skin so that they were hairy, and he went into his blind, dying father and got the fatherly blessing. But this time, he received the blessing directly from God. So for us, what are you facing that seems insurmountable to you? That you are pouring all the powers of your own intellect and your will and your personality and your resources into. Could God be wrestling you down to surrender? Could God be waiting on you to enter into a new level of grasping Him so tight that you won't let go of Him? Until you are convinced that He is really the God of grace, of kindness, and that His will towards you is nothing but good. Sometimes these wrestling times come at transition points in our lives. Like, I've got a decision to make. What do you want me to do here, Lord? I'm afraid. I'm scared to death, actually, Lord. I need something more powerful than my own anxieties, my own fears, my own worries. I know that I need that, but I don't want it. And God knows it. And so a wounding happens. A wounding. Jacob is wounded with the lightest touch from God. The touch on his hip. So what does that tell us? That the wrestling was for Jacob, not for God. And how is this? How is this wounding common to God's people? Because especially for strong-willed, stubborn, and fearful people, God has to take you down until you are unable to get back up yourself. Really? God has to break you so that your character, the core of who you are, the core of your being, can be remade by Him, not yourself. As Tim Keller says, God doesn't make good people. He makes new people. In my own life, because of some early childhood wounds, I was deathly afraid of rejection, abandonment, loneliness. So what did God do? He wounded me deeply. He took away everything that I was depending on in order to make my life work. Sometimes the only way to learn that Jesus is all you need is when Jesus is all you have. And some of you may be in a season where you're saying, Lord, this is not anything at all like what I thought this was about. This whole trusting God thing, this surrendering to God, this giving my life up. He knows. That's why God puts it in His Word in such stark terms. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in and through me. It's not you. So the principle, God always wounds in order to heal. He wounds our body, our spirit, in order to heal our character. Look later at James 1, 2 through 5. In order to blow us away at what the God of love can do. And not just Christian heroes that you might hold up as somehow beyond you. God has done this in so many of you. Ask around. How have you been wounded? And what is the genius power that has come out of that wound? And this should not surprise us. This is the resurrection power that we stake our very lives on. See? Life comes out of death. If the resurrection isn't true, then why does all humanity love and seek after underdog stories? When victory is clawed from the jaws of defeat, right? When your team comes from way behind against all odds, why are there so many stories of God bringing healing and life where there was death? Because this is the way God works. I met a man just this past week, not in our church. He talked about how when he was 6 years old, his father left him. Him and his mom and his siblings, his mother never got remarried. And his father ended up remarrying and had some other children. And one time, and this guy's in his 60s now, he was talking with his half-sister. And he said, I really am thankful that all this happened. And she was just incredulous at first. What do you mean? And he said, well, my calling, my job, my ministry that I've had for decades as a PE coach, where I get to help kids from broken homes, none of that would have ever happened if what happened to me when I was 6 hadn't happened. Now, what happens to us that is terrible is terrible. Okay, it is ugly. It is products of the fall. It is painful and God hates it. But God is the God of resurrections, right? He uses Jacob's life, just one example. He uses things like this and turns them around. Okay. But there is a warning here, okay? A wound is a digging out. It creates a hole. And it's like a vacuum. A vacuum must be filled. Okay. You will find something to fill the wound. This is why the Bible gives story after story like this one. Because Jacob, after wrestling all night, and then after being wounded, he's desperate for something to fill the hole. That's what he does there. He finally grasps onto God with all his might and says, I won't let go. He finally becomes a receiver. He finally understands what grace is for. Grace is only for those who can receive it. Beware of covering up your own wound in your own strength, see, or with things of the world that feel good but are not of Him. See? If you persist in resisting, there will come a time where grace is unattainable because of your pride. Humble yourself in your woundedness. Okay? That's what the wound is for. Okay, then fourth, blessing. Now, Jacob is very familiar with the necessity of being blessed. Okay, and in this specific sense, the word blessing, it meant the transfer of goods and authority from the father, the transfer of goods and authority from the father that went to the firstborn. Okay, so Jacob strived after that blessing from his father, and with the help of his mother, they connived and deceived and lied to obtain the blessing. But in verse 26, Jacob would not turn loose until God blessed him. It's an appeal, a desperate appeal for grace, for favor. This time he knows he can't make it happen for himself. Do you know that? Do you really know that? Or are you still thinking deep down that somehow you can figure it out, that you can make it happen? So Jacob, out of his wounding, he cries out. So we see then what blessing means here. To be blessed is to be released from control. To be blessed is to receive something that you in no way could accomplish for yourself. That's why Jesus in the Beatitudes puts his followers back into the reality of what it means to be human. To be restored to life. To be brought into the freedom of dependence instead of independence. So what does Jesus say? Blessed are the poor in spirit, are those who mourn, are those who are meek, are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. See? To be blessed is to be released from control. Just a little bit different from hashtag blessed underneath this picture of all this wealth that I've acquired. For Jacob, then, this is the turn. This is the transformation that we've all been waiting for. Jacob's very tenacious, and now his tenacity is turned towards God to be able to seek God with all his heart, to hold on and not let go until God blessed him. The grabber became the grasper of God. The deceiver finally becomes the receiver. So what did God do? God gave him the strength to let go. The strength to surrender fleshly, fearful independence and embrace with all his strength the fear of God. So then the blessing out of that is the blessing of limping. Now this is so counterintuitive. This limping in and of itself as a gift of a blessing is just reminder again of how far the fall fell us. You know, we think this is ridiculous foolishness because it is. I mean, really? Do you have a weakness that hobbles you? Okay. Do you feel like that it's holding you back? And you wish you could be rid of it. Now, if it is a sin, then yes, fight it. Put it to death. Take drastic measures like Jesus says, cut off your right hand if it causes you to sin, right? But if it is a thorn in the flesh, a wound, a limp, a weakness placed there by God, then boast in it. Boast in it. It's one of the primary ways that God makes you strong. He makes you strong in Him. Your weakness, your limping is the main way that God teaches you and keeps teaching you dependence, reliance upon Him. Don't run from it. Embrace it. God's kingdom would not expand without His limping followers. He chooses, right, the weak things of the world to shame the strong, and the church needs constant renewal in this truth all the time. Now, will this limp that you have ever be gone? Not in this life. Hopefully not in this life. The limp is what reminds you of your humanity, of your weakness, of your poverty. Your limp is not what hobbles you. See, for Jacob, your limp is not what hobbles you, it's what enables you to see God face to face. It's what enables you to be honest, to be real, to be authentic. My kids turned me on to this song, a song by a guy named Chris Renzema, titled Jacob. He says, I know there's a cure for this sickness my heart endures, but it's hard to walk naked into the light. How can Jacob walk into the light? How can he let go of his own control only by being blessed by God, by being covered, by being assured, rock solid confident that he is secure, that he is safe, and he won't be condemned to die. And neither can you or me. We cannot walk naked into the light. How can we face the ugliness about ourselves? Only and ever by being assured and certain that we are covered. See? So this is the story of the Bible from what God did in the Garden of Eden. He covered Adam and Eve with sacrificial animals, right? Animal sacrifice, blood drawn for them to be covered. All the way through the whole sacrificial system of the Old Testament, all the way to Jesus Christ, condemned in your place. So this is the practical, daily, present value of the blood of Christ that covers your sins and cleanses you, and the robe of righteousness that was Christ from his perfection that he covers you with. So you're not naked. You can walk into the light. You can admit the ugliness about yourself. And you can see God, oh my, rename you. He renames you. Part of the blessing of being renamed Israel, right? One who strives or wrestles with God. Isn't this all of us? Isn't this all of God's people? People who wrestle with God? Think of all the other biblical language to use to describe faith in God. Surrender. Submit. Die. To be crucified. The fleshly natural man, woman, boy, or girl is that strong, that resistant. And so this renaming, Jesus has renamed all of us. In Revelation 2, he says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will give him a white stone, with a new name written on that stone that no one knows except the one who receives it." All for the purpose of humbling our pride, removing our fear, and jolting us into awe at what the God of love can do. O Lord God, then, help us to go then deeper into your grace, your kindness, your favor to us, your great patience with us, that you allow us and even welcome us to wrestle with you. You wound us just where we need to be wounded, that we might be blessed by releasing control, by turning to you again in faith and repentance and trust more than we ever thought we could. O Lord, help us. Help us to give unto you sacrificially. Help us to receive from you again and again and be restored into who you have made us to be. In Jesus' name and by his blood we pray. Amen.